to share one more reading with you this morning. My text for the sermon is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. And St. Paul writes this message to the Christians in Corinth. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has become a fool for us. Amen. Specifically, the sermon text for today, from the very promises of God, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25, which reads, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, in case some of you came in late, you may realize I'm not Pastor Harold. Although, that's why I got my hair cut. If it was too long, it would just be too much of a difference from Pastor Harold. And, okay, maybe not quite. I'm Pastor Paul Rogo, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the missionary for Greater Vancouver, for the ABC District. And my family, my wife Jackie, and our sons Micah and Evan, and our daughter Abby Joy, we're members here. And I'm your newest, most delinquent member, because I've been going around preaching at a lot of different congregations this summer. Pleasure to be with you today, here from God's Word of Promise. So most of you I know, and some of you I'm meeting this morning, and yet after what I'm about to say to you next, I don't know if you'll let me come back. But here goes. Coming to this church building and to this worship service, this divine service, is one of the most foolish things you have done. You're fools. So you foolishly waste 2 to 4 hours every Sunday morning, whether it be spent sleeping in or running errands or spending time with other people, to be here. You foolishly push and prod your children to get them up, get them dressed, and get them here on time, sort of. You foolishly think by being here it's going to make a difference in your life. You foolishly think that the people here have your best interest in mind and that they actually care about you. You foolishly think that it's not only going to make a difference for you, but in the lives of those around you. You're fools. At least, that's what St. Paul was called. You know, he's the man who wrote the reading I just read to you. 1 Corinthians, this letter to the Christians in Corinth. And you see, not long before he wrote this letter, Paul was doing something much, much different. He was chastising Christians, throwing them in jail, and then even having them killed. And then the next thing you know, he's foolishly become one of them and devotes his entire life so that others can be fools like him. See, like St. Paul, you foolishly believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heavens and the earth, that he created everything out of nothing by a word. Like St. Paul, you foolishly believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. You foolishly believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You are fools. At least that's what St. Paul thought. And that's not only what he thought, that's also what he wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." He goes on in verses 22 through 25, "Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And then Paul continues in verses 27 through 29. "But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." You see, to the Greeks and scholars of his day, St. Paul was a fool. A fool to believe in something so simple, so circumspect, and certainly so stupid. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, dead on a cross and raised from the grave. Paul's a fool. And it's not all that uncommon to us. At work, we grow tired of those jokes on Christians. At school, it gets old when people continue to make fun of Jesus and his followers. And maybe even in our own family, we hear about the stupidity, the folly of following after Christ. We are fools. And yet what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 is even more telling. He writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness." It's ridiculous. It's nonsense. It's like fairy tales and make-believe. It's foolishness. Maybe even God is a fool. Because only a fool creates everything out of nothing and leaves it in the hands of people so easily led astray. Only a fool destroys the world with a flood while starting over with a family so readily infiltrated by sin. Only a fool calls a man named Abraham, who can't even tell the truth about his own wife, to be the father of many nations. Only a fool calls King David, who commits murder and adultery, a man after God's own heart. Only a fool continues to forgive his chosen people after repeated and ridiculous rebellion. Only a fool promises to buy back those same people after they've given themselves away to other gods. Only a fool leaves heaven to get dirty, dumped on, and disowned as one of us. Only a fool chooses ragtag radicals, terrible tax collectors, and filthy fishermen to follow him and change the world. Only a fool allows himself to be beaten, blackmailed, and betrayed. Only a fool chooses to wear a crown of thorns instead of a crown of gold. And only a fool chooses to save the world by dying on a gory, God-forsaken cross. Only a fool for you. Paul writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We are fools. Fools enough to believe that God became one of us. We're fools enough to believe that in our baptism, just some simple water with the powerful Word of God have regenerated us, have changed our lives forever, have brought us from death to life. We're fools enough to believe that in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, there is also the very body and blood of Christ that forgives us and unites us with Him and with each other forever. We're fools enough to believe that God's word of promise that we hear today actually abolishes addictions, destroys our destructive ways, and forgives our failures. We're fools enough to believe that death is not the end, and yet still certainly our enemy. We're fools enough to believe that the devil and all his demons have no dominion over us. We're fools enough to believe that our loved ones who have died in the Lord, like Christ on Easter, on the last day, they will be raised. We're fools enough to believe that one day very soon our Lord and Savior Jesus will return, restore our bodies, and reign with us forever. And we are fools enough to believe that every second, every minute counts. That our lives make a difference in the lives of those people around us. We're fools enough to go off to some faraway places for our jobs and callings. BC, the Middle East, maybe even China. We're fools enough to stay rooted where we've been raised, using our relationship and influence for Jesus' sake. We're fools enough to believe that the children and the young people of our church aren't the future of our church only. Now let me say this to you right now, young people. You are the church right now. So we're fools enough to believe that God not only hears our prayers, but He acts in mercy for our sake and for the sake of our loved ones. We're fools enough to believe that we will do whatever it takes to listen to learn from, and to love our community for the sake of Jesus, no matter what the cost. We're fools enough to believe that we can't stay here in this beautiful church building in the heart of Richmond and wait for people to come to us, but that we must go into the community to live out and to share the gospel. And we are fools enough to believe that our Lord put us right here in beautiful Richmond, D.C., among thousands upon thousands of unbelieving but yet wonderful and also beautiful people for an amazing purpose. The saving of many lives. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him." What a fool. What a love. What a God. We are fools for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, to life everlasting, fools for Him. Amen.